today. Amen. Appreciate those songs. Amen. Good old songs that have a testimony to them themselves. Amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. I'm glad He hides my soul. Amen. In the cleft of the rock. And I'm glad I've heard those wonderful words of life. All that is true. Amen. Genesis chapter number 38 is a story that is sort of parenthetical. We're reading, if you're reading through Genesis, this was in my daily Bible reading one day this week. Matter of fact, this is what brought it back to my mind. And God used it to put a burden on my heart for today. But in this, we're dealing with Jacob and his family and then Joseph. And Joseph being sold is what we end up with in chapter 37. It's going to start focusing on Joseph down in Egypt and then how the brethren all get there. But there's a parenthetical chapter, first chapter 38, tells us a story about Judah and some mishaps in Judah's life. And I want to read that today. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. No, I won't. I'll stop. I'll read the first 19 verses. We'll read the first 19 verses. And then I'm going to focus on a couple of those verses and preach a topical message if I can. So keep your Bible handy. Brother Ballou would say keep your Bible open. We're going to be using our Bible today. Amen. Genesis 38, verse number 1. And let's read it responsibly, by the way. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and he went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son and his name was Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and his name was Onan. And she conceived again and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. I don't know why in the world you name your son Shelah unless you just run out of names. But he did. I'm glad my daddy didn't name me Shelah. Every time I read that, that's what I think. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Anyway, let me get back there. Where was that? Verse number 5. Thank you. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah, and he was at Chezeb when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in to thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. By the way, that was the Jewish law. Even though Moses hadn't come along and made that law, that was going to be the Jewish law and tradition that if the elder would get the inheritance. And so if the elder dies, then the younger son would marry that widow, raise children, and that son would be the inheritor then that would follow. That was why that it was that way. All right. And verse number 9. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground lest he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was the daughter, his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send them? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of widowhood. I'll stop that, verse 19. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach primarily from verse number 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. Look at that back with me, if you will. The Bible said, and she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. I'm preaching today on this thought, judging the book by its cover. Judging the book by its cover. Now, this particular message, I preached it here once already. I preached it twice at Vision, 20 years apart. I preached it there first in 1993, and then I preached it there again in 2013. I preached it here shortly, not long after coming here, in 2017. Every time it's been on a Sunday morning, and I felt God led me to go back there today. And let me just preface this with a few remarks. First of all, I'm not asking you to judge somebody else's cover. We need to look at our own book. Amen. I'm not asking you to judge somebody else's book and cover. I'm asking us to look at our own book. And you say, was Judah right and Tamar wrong? No, they were both wrong. God was not in this story. He's just telling us this story to show you what he was going to do with what happened in this story. We're in a world of sin, and it's wrong for a woman to dress like a harlot, and it's wrong for a man to treat a woman like she's a harlot. Amen. Matter of fact, he messed up. He turned her way instead of turning away from her. It's the same words. He just did it in the wrong way. He turned her way instead of turning away from her. But here's the issue. This thing, judging the book by her. She changed her clothes. Started dressing in a way that was provocative. Now, we ended up, verse 19, she changes back. Amen. She changes. I'm glad that when you mess up, you can make it right. God, in his grace and mercy, will help you make it right. But that don't mean there won't be scars from the time you lived in wrong. It don't mean that you won't reap the seeds you sowed while in that time of doing wrong. Amen. But I'm preaching on this thought, judging the book by its cover. That's a very well-known phrase. And I've bought books just because of the cover. And the cover in some of them was really good, but the book wasn't all that good. And then I bought other books that the cover was just bland, but the book was extraordinary. Right. But we do judge the book by its cover. Amen. Now, I'm aware that this is a very controversial topic. I'm not excited necessarily about dealing with it, but as a pastor, I feel like periodically I need to. Amen. And be honest with you, in the comments that we were talking about, Brother Hall preached it strong and straight, and some people choose to go that way, and some people choose not to. I can't affect how you choose, but I can affect what you hear. Amen. I know this, I know it for a fact. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you never hear it, you'll never act in faith upon it. That's why you got to preach on subjects like this. Amen. Amen. Now, amen. I don't know how long I'll be. I'm not going to promise to be short. I'm not going to promise to be long. I'll just deal with it as I feel like God would have me do. A lot of verses and a lot of things. Really only two main points. My title comes from an old adage. When I looked it up, it said it was, first time they realized it was used was at least in 1860. We're talking about pre-Civil War days.
right? That this phrase come about judging the book by its cover. And it is true that people every day make decisions based upon the appearance that is put forth. By the way, that's why it is wrong to impersonate an officer of the law. What's wrong with wearing a badge? What could be wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. You're impersonating something you're not, and you're not allowed to do that. Are you following me? I believe it's wrong to impersonate a harlot. Don't dress like one. Amen. I could say a lot of things it's wrong to impersonate that I believe we're living in that day. Men don't need to be wearing dresses trying to impersonate a woman. Women don't need to be wearing pants trying to impersonate a man. Amen. And you say, well, maybe they're not trying to, but that's the cover. That's what the cover says. That's what we expect the book because we're judging the book by its cover. All right. Amen. Stay with me. Don't fall out on me. I heard an illustration a few years ago, but I already had preached this message before, and I heard this illustration. Brother Jeff Plemons, pastor's in Kingston, Tennessee. Great preacher, by the way. Brother Moyes knows him well. You may have heard him give this illustration. He said he told his church one time, he said, you know, everybody keeps telling me that what's on the outside don't matter. That the only thing that matters is what's on the inside. He said, so I've made a deal. He said, we need funds. We need money. He said, I'm going to keep the preaching straight inside the church. We're going to keep everything straight and right inside the church, but we're going to paint pictures on the wall advertising for the beer companies and the liquor companies. Now, we're going to be straight on the inside. The outside don't matter. You going to buy that? No, you ain't going to buy that. He said, we're going to let dope dealers and porn publishers set up in our parking lot and say, but we're going to keep it right on the inside. Because that's all that matters. The point is, that ain't all that matters. Amen. I know what people say, well, you know, God judges what's in heart. I know that. And the only way we know what's in your heart is what we see on the outside. Amen. All right. By the way, if we put the beer signs on the side of the church and we had the porn sellers and the drug sellers in the parking lot, I can just imagine all them Pharisees going by and seeing they ain't right. That church ain't right. They don't know what's on the inside. Amen. Listen, let me just plug this. I've said it before, and it ain't in my notes, but let me... When you poster something on a billboard on Facebook, don't get upset when somebody comments on it. It's not gossip when you put it out on Facebook. Amen. Amen. If you're going to flaunt your wickedness on Facebook, if you're going to flaunt your nakedness, if you're going to flaunt your worldliness, don't get excited or upset when somebody says something about what you put on public display. Amen. And I don't think I'm a hard preacher, but this is it. If you got the boldness to live that way, I ought to have the boldness to preach the truth to you. Amen. 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 All right, here's what I'm looking at this story here of Tamar. By the way, who is in the lineage of Christ? Yeah. She got in the family of God. Amen. But it was grace that got her there. Amen. I'm using this text as a starter and jumping off place. How come Judah came to think of Tamar? He didn't think she was his daughter-in-law. He didn't think she was a widow woman. He didn't think she was a married woman. He thought she was a harlot. How'd he come to think that? Because of the way she dressed. That's right. Now here's a point, and I want you can write this down. This is the introduction, but here's a point you ought to write down. Tamar was not a floozy. But she dressed like one. And she got treated like one. Because of the way she dressed. I can remember, and I'm not that old. I keep saying that. I'll be 60 in April, so I guess I am that old. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Rest of you be quiet. Amen. Me and Ricky will get along. Amen. I can remember, excuse me. I can remember when in the banks, if you went into the bank, if it was a woman teller, she would have on a nice dress. The men would have on a nice suit. At least a dress shirt and dress pants. Maybe not a tie, but probably a tie. Maybe not a jacket. But at least they'd be dressed. Business, they would call that. Then they started this thing they called Casual Friday, where they'd let them come in casual, and it went that women would then wear their slacks. Now you got bank tellers got tattoos on them and got rings in places rings ain't supposed to be. Right? Why? Because we've let down the standard. We've let down the guard. Amen. And I can say that about a lot of that. Chick-fil-A used to wouldn't hire. As a matter of fact, if you had a tattoo, you had to cover it up if you worked for Chick-fil-A. Now all that stuff's out the window. They say in order to get enough people to work there, they got to hire the riffraff, which, by the way, is what that appears to be. And I'm not fussy. Listen, if you've got those things, listen, you can get right about it, right? And you can cover it up and you can go on and serve God. But don't be proud of your sin, proud of your shame, and proud of your wickedness. Amen. All right, I'm chasing too many rabbits. She was not a floozy. She was not trying to attract all men. She's just after one. And there's been a lot of young girls get their eye on one young man. They just want one and they start dressing different. They start acting different. And by the way, the vibe they put off and the cover of the book says they're trying to attract every man. She had been obedient to the voice of her father-in-law. She married the elder son. He was wicked and God killed him. She married the second son. He was wicked and God killed him. And Judah said, go back to your father-in-law and I'll give you Shelah when he's grown. Apparently he wasn't old enough to marry yet. And he said, I'll give it. And so she goes back exactly like he said. Now it says he said, and he didn't say these words. He said in his mind and in his heart, lest Shelah die like his brethren. The point was, he is a little bit nervous. Amen. I mean, if you know, let's say you're dating a woman and she says, you know, my first husband died. What did I? Well, he had poison in his coffee. And my second husband died. How did he die? He's got poison. He had poison in his coffee. Now, what are you going to do when she offers you a cup of coffee? Yeah, run. That's exactly right. Run for dear life. Amen. Switch cups with her. Amen. Amen. No, but you can understand from a physical side with God not in the picture. And by the way, God wasn't in the picture. Judah wasn't thinking of God. Tamar wasn't thinking of God. And so Judah sends her home. She was obedient to do what he said. She went back home to her daddy where she's supposed to be, under his authority. But Judah didn't keep his end of the bargain. When Shelah got grown, he didn't give her to him. And she saw that. And she got anxious. She got tired of waiting for a husband. Let me just plug there again. Sometimes young ladies, you may get tired of waiting for a husband, but don't make the wrong move. Brother Blue, you should say this about a man with a woman. And I'll use it for the man as well. But he would say it'd be better to want her and not have her than to have her and not want her. It'd be better to wish you had him than to wish you didn't have him. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you make those wrong moves because of a lack of faithfulness waiting on God. Now in verse number 14, it says Tamar wrapped herself. Here's what I believe. I believe that's talking about when you wrap something, you usually wrap it tightly. I think that's what he's talking about there. That she probably put on some tight clothing. Amen. Now listen, it doesn't say it was too short. It doesn't say it was too low. But it's still too revealing. Amen. Now I'm preaching to church folk. I'm not preaching to streetwalkers on the street. Amen. And let me say, this comes in my funerals. And weddings are some of the most immodest services in a church I've ever been to. But I've been to services that wasn't funerals or weddings that was pretty bad immodest. And sometimes it's not from people that intend on being immodest. She wrapped herself. I believe that means she's probably too tight, her clothing. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 15 to say that she covered her face. Now, we know that covered it with a veil. She disguised herself is the idea there. I think about how do women disguise themselves today? Well, they paint up to look like something they're not. And a lot of times, and listen, don't take this wrong. You can get offended, but I don't mean for you to. I've got my spoon right here. I can stir in this a little while if I need to. Don't get offended. But a lot of times that makeup is to look like somebody from Hollywood. Or somebody from some magazine cover. Right? It's to look like somebody you're not. Amen. I've said this before, and I'm thinking of a certain individual right now, and not here, that I know of. A certain individual, that they put these pictures up on Facebook, and they send this out through the public, and it's these glamour shots, and they're filtered. You know, y'all understand? All right, I don't really understand that, but I know that's what they call it. They filter them shots, so they look like somebody they're not. They look like something they're not, and then they get all these likes, likes, likes. You know what those people are saying? Listen, don't let that build you up. Oh, look at all these likes I got. No, what they're saying is they like the fake you better than they like the real you. That's what they're saying. And if it's a guy, what he's really saying is, I like it when you look like her better than I like it when you look like you. Shame on that. Amen. Amen. All right. I know I ain't. I said it yesterday. I'm not winning friends and influencing people. But I'm preaching. Covered herself. I think a cover girl. That's what I think about. Cover girl. Amen. Maybelline. Avon. Anyway, I could go on that. I know that's just an example of it. But no matter what Tamar's inner reasoning was, her outward adorning told a whole different picture. Whole different story. What got her noticed was the way she was dressed. By the way, it didn't just get her noticed. It got her labeled. It got her impregnated out of wedlock. Amen. Now, with that story in mind, I want to think on this, the judging the book by its cover. Two things. I want to talk about the attire of a whorish woman. And we're going to look through Proverbs, the attire of a whorish woman and then the attire of a holy woman. Proverbs chapter number 7 is where we'll start with this attire of the whorish woman. Solomon had a lot to say about that. A lot to say. By the way, this book, the book of Proverbs, was written to his son to try to give his son some wisdom. Let me hurry up with this. There's so many thoughts in my mind and things that need to be said, to be honest with you. Young men, it is not wise to fill your mind with filthy pictures or filthy thoughts or filthy imaginations. Amen. That whole porn crowd is filth. Amen. It's filth. And I know times have changed. There was a time in order to get a filthy magazine, you had to sneak around in order to get it. You had to rent maybe a filthy VCR tape. Brother Matthias said VCR stands for vile, corrupt, and reprobate. In order to get one of those tapes, you had to go in the back room. Now you can access it from your phone. And by the way, and they will do their best to push it on you. And it don't start off bad. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's bad enough. But it's filth nonetheless. And if you fill your mind with it, you're cluttering your mind with garbage. You're filling your mind with things, by the way, that's going to affect your heart. It's going to cause the way you look at other women that don't mean to be looked at that way. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that makes it right. It ain't right. Amen. So, and you say, well, you're preaching to the women on this thing about adorning. Yeah, and I'm preaching to us men too. Matter of fact, well, I'll say this. Look, you're in Proverbs 7. I'll say this. Proverbs 7, verse 6. Read with me verse 12. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. How did he know he's a young man? He could tell by looking at him. How did he know he's void of understanding? Read the rest of it and you'll see. Void of understanding, passing through the streets near her corner. That's how he knew he was void of understanding. He should have never been in that place. He is in the wrong place. Amen. I beheld a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him there a woman with the attire of an harlot. I'll stop right there. How did he know she is a harlot? By the way, he don't say she was. He just says she is dressed that way. With the attire of an harlot. And subtle of heart. You say, how do you know what's in her heart? Again, it shows by the way you act. She's sneaky. She's crafty. That's what he's talking about. Verse 11. And this is in parentheses 11 and 12. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. I'm going to stop there. We'll come back to that verse in a minute, or those verses in a minute. But I'm looking at this. Solomon warns his son to stay away from this girl on the street. Don't go her way. Why? Because she looks like a harlot. Mamas and daddies, you've got the right to say to your sons and daughters, I don't like the looks of that girl, or I don't like the looks of that boy.
Amen.
You got a right to say that.
Amen.
Right. You got a right to say that you're not supposed to be with that kind of person.
Amen.
They look like they're up to no good. You got a right to say that. Amen.
Right.
So he said to him, don't go down her way. Now, how did he warn this son to recognize her? Number one, by the way she dressed. Verse 10 says she had the attire of an harlot. She was clothed in such a way to look like a harlot. Amen. Can I tell you that the fashion of Hollywood is not the fashion of holiness? Never has been and never will be. It's the fashion of harlotry. Amen. Actors and actresses, what are they known for? They're known for their extramarital affairs. They're known for their marriages and divorces. Right? They're known for their fornication and their adultery. They're partying and they're cheating. Amen. That's what they're known for. He not only said that she had the look of a harlot, he said she's loud, verse 11. That doesn't necessarily mean the volume of speech. It could mean flashy, flamboyant, and eye-catching. You ever said, well, that is a loud color? And people don't say, well, I didn't hear it. They understand when you say that's a loud color, you mean that gets your attention. That's what she was. It got the attention. Verse number 13 says she caught him. I stopped reading in verse 12, but verse 13 says she caught him. How did she catch him? She caught him by the way she is dressed. She caught him by catching his attention. Amen. I've got some examples here. Bear with me while I read them. Tight jeans. Yoga pants. You say, what's yoga pants? That's them pantyhose that women wear around. Tight sweaters, short skirts, tight clinging skirts and dresses. Low-cut blouses, bikinis, bathing suits, shorts, split skirts, see-through clothing. Amen. By the way, these things are not simply worn because of comfort. Oh, I'm just so comfortable. No, they wear them for fashion. But they wear them to be provocative. They have a point. Many of them are provocative and they are rebellious and they are stubborn. He saw that in this woman by the way she was dressed. Again, these are not the type clothing wore by holiness, it's war for harlotry. Amen. A woman who dresses like a harlot does so either because she is unaware of the results or because she is aware but just ungodly in her heart. She is either ignorant or ignoring the facts. He knew how to catch her, notice her by the way she was dressed. Number two, by the words of her mouth. We're in chapter 7. Look at verse number 5, and I'll go back and look at chapter 5 and 6 in a minute verses, but we'll skip some verses around. Verse 5, chapter number 7. He says, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Do you see that? Flattery. My, don't you look good today. Boy, I wish my husband was that attractive or that attentive. I wish my husband talked to me like you talk to me. Can I tell you, go buy you a parrot. Let it talk to you. Keep your marriage intact. Amen. Or do like some other women, just learn to talk to yourself. Keep your marriage intact. Verse 13. So she called him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him, I have my peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vow. Boy, she got real religious all of a sudden. Do you know there's such thing as religious whores? Religious. Oh, yeah. Here's what she goes on to say. Verse number 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. Oh, I just came to find you. You know what I've been looking for. That's what she's saying. Diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and fine linens of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. Oh, she's letting him know she belongs to somebody else, but he's gone. Don't say, while the cat's away, the mice will play. You know what mice are? They're just little rats. You're a rat if you act like that. Amen. Vermin, that's what they are. He's gone a long journey. Verse 20 now, he hath taken a bag of money with him. He will come home at the appointed time. In other words, she said, I got this all planned out. I know exactly when he'll be back. There ain't no way we're going to get caught. Verse 21, talking about her words, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Doesn't mean that she raped him. What it means there is that she put enough pressure on him to cause him to go away that good sense would have told him not to go. That's really what it's talking about. She shoved him down the wrong way, if you can look at it that way. All right, look at chapter 6, and we'll go from 6 back to 5. Chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. So it ain't just the clothes she wears, it's the words she uses. Be careful of those things. Chapter number 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. And her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Woo! You know what he said? Ain't nothing good going to come out of that. Nothing good going to come out of that. In the day we live, there's music. That's music that has the intent of working up emotions about, let us take our solace of love all through the night. Music, and some of it's sung by men and some of it's sung by women. Can I tell you, don't listen to that kind of music. You're not putting anything good in your mind. If you listen to that kind of music, and I know, you know, independent bachelors, we're supposed to preach against your music. We're supposed to preach against your dress and all that kind of, I understand that. But it's not just supposed to. I'm trying to protect your mind. Trying to keep your morals active. Amen. There's a lot of men did things that their morals told them not to do. Because they listened to the wrong music. They listened to the wrong kind of talk. that went in the wrong places and was around the wrong people. Here's the thing about this woman. I'm talking about her words now. He knew it by the way she is dressed. He knew it by the words of her mouth. A whorish woman knows how to talk. She flatters, she flirts, and she flaunts. Amen. Young men, write this down. A woman that will talk dirty is dirty. Amen. I've said this before, but it's right. A woman whose mouth is full of sewage has a heart like a septic tank. She's leading you with her words. She's trying to draw you with words. Let me tell you, you better be careful. You better look at where she's leading you to. Amen. So he knew it by the way she's dressed. He knew it by the words of her mouth. He knew it, number three, by the wink of her eyes. If you're right there close to chapter 6, look at verse 26. Proverbs 6, 26. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. All right? Hey, you know what he's saying? She's up to no good. She's got her eye out for you. Chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Chapter 7, verse 13. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. That impudent face, you look that up. Here's what it means. No shame. No shame. The only way this woman could blush is if she buys it in a bottle and paints it on her face. She can't blush. Why? Because her heart is hard and her face is impudent. She's talking with him. Here she is talking with this young man, and her eyes are telling him a story. Are you following me? Amen. Be careful of those women that try to draw you by the attention of their eyes. That's why some of the makeup is made, to make the eyes pop. That's their word. Why do women's eyes need to pop? So that somebody will notice them. Amen. All right. Earrings, the chandelier type earrings that people wear sometimes, that is to catch a man's eye. It's here and it's flashy, and when they turn their head, they've got your eye. And you're looking them in the eyes. Amen. Brother Don Anderson said that he saw a woman one time, said the earrings that she had on come in. He said, I'll guarantee you she had to take them both off simultaneously. If she didn't, if she took off one at a time, it'd break her neck. Why is that? Why are they wearing that? I'll tell you why. You get attention. And by the way, they may not even know that. Little girls today have earrings put in their ears before they even know how to talk. Before they even know how to walk. Amen. All right. You say, preacher, are you preaching against earrings altogether? Well, you don't have a verse. You don't have one verse. The Bible says it's wrong for a man to do it and right for a woman. All the verses in the Bible that talk about them earrings, they talk about heathen people, men or women. Amen. If you've had, again, I ain't fussing. I am preaching. All right. Amen. Brother Sutton says, they said, don't judge me. He's, I ain't judging, I'm preaching. I think that's right. Brother Larry Wells said this one time. I think this is so good. Larry Wells said, God made you with 7 holes in your head, and that's all you need. 2 eye holes, 2 nostril holes, 2 ear holes, and 1 mouth hole. That's all you need. I think that's right. Okay. Here's a point we need to notice. I talked about the way she's dressed, the words of her mouth, the wink of her eye. How about this? The wound of her ways. I already read chapter 5, verse 5, where it said her feet go down to hell or down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Look at chapter 6 again. Here's some verses. We started with verse 26. Let me go back there. 26 and read on. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. That's talking about poverty, friend. It's talking about she's going to take you down to your last dollar and you'll be scrambling for a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Now look at this. Men do not despise a thief. Everybody hates a thief, right? He said, not if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. If he's stealing to stay alive, we can understand that a little bit. But look at what it goes on to say, verse 31. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. In other words, he's got to repay it. But look at verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Well, I could stop and park right there. He said, you ain't too smart. Now hang on with me. These boys, you young men listening, these boys in school or however you meet them. These boys, I mean, they're the cool kids. You know, they wear the collar up. And they know how to strut when they walk. I can't even do it. They know how to strut when they walk. And they're cool. They're the smart kids that know how to get all the girls. The Bible says they're not too smart. They're not so smart. Matter of fact, most of the time, them boys are also dealing with drink. And the Bible says, whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Again, not too smart. Amen. But here he said that she brings him down to that poverty of losing everything he's got. Whosoever, verse 32 again, whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Look at this. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Oh preacher. Oh, but I'll do it and I'll wipe it away. He said, you ain't wiping it away. Verse 34, here's why. For the jealousy of a man. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest him many gifts. He said, if you stole food from him, he might understand, even though he'd want you to pay him back. But he said, if you steal his wife, he ain't never going to forgive you. Never. He said he don't understand that. Amen. So I'm preaching to the men and the women, but the idea here is she's leading him on into this, and he thinks, oh, it's just going to be good. It's just going to be games. It's just going to be fun and games. We're going to have a good time. Nope. Maybe pleasure to sin for a little season, but one of these days, judgment's coming. And sometimes the goodman of the house comes back sooner than expected. Are you following me? Sometimes. Here's what the Bible says about that. And be sure your sin will find you out. It ain't a matter of sometimes. It's a matter of everybody, sometime or another, is going to get caught that's involved in there. All right, chapter number 7 again. Let me look at some of these verses. I'm trying to get to my last point, and y'all bear with me. Chapter 7, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. By the way, a dart is a quick-moving, injurious thing. Till a dart strike to his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Chapter 7, verse 27 sounds a lot like chapter 5, verse 5. Death and hell, that's what she represents. We know this. When a mouse sees the cheese on the mouse trap, I'm supposing, of course, I've never been a mouse. I've never really even talked to a mouse. And y'all laugh. I don't even talk to dogs. All right. Or parrots. I'm supposing about a mouse now. All right, you follow me? I'm supposing about a mouse, but I think it makes sense. When the mouse sees the cheese on the trap, he don't notice the trap. All he sees is the cheese. That's what happens a lot of times in a young man's life. Or, by the way, it could be an older man. It don't have to be young boys. It could be married men. Are you following me? Amen. Or maybe they do see the mouse trap and they know, hey, isn't this where my friend got his head knocked off of him? Yeah. Oh, but it won't happen to me. I don't see anything that looks dangerous. All I see is the cheese. And here's what they do. They go and partake of the cheese and they are enjoying themselves until their brains are knocked out. God said that's the way it is with a man and a strange woman. Amen. That's what messing with a harlot is like. It's a trap. That's what I'm saying. It's a trap. So I talk about the adorning of a whorish woman. Let me give you some hope. There's the adorning of a holy woman. Go to 1 Timothy in chapter number 2. I appreciate you bearing with me. I know this ain't been no shouting message, but it's still the truth. And go to tie it in with Brother Jacob's Sunday school lesson. It is a precious stone that you can set up and make a marker in your life. I remember when the preacher preached to me about my sin. I remember when the preacher warned me about sin. I wasn't in, but I could have got in. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefaced. Isn't it amazing? He goes right down the same line that Solomon did. Way she's dressed, the wink of her eye, look of her face. Yeah. And sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. By the way, that doesn't mean you can't braid your hair. Doesn't mean you can't wear gold or pearls. But it's talking about you don't get overwhelmed with that kind of stuff. Right? But which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, I read all of that, but here's my point that I want you to notice. He's talking about the adorning, how she adorns herself in verse number 9. Now, here's a point that I want to bring out before I go to my next text. 1 Timothy is not written to a woman. It's written to a preacher. Because the preacher's supposed to tell women what God expects and what's best for them. It's not only written to a preacher, it's written to a man. Now, listen, and women don't have any right dressing ungodly, but dads, how can you let your daughters go out looking like a harlot? Here's a step further than that. Husbands, why in the world would you want your wife looking like a billboard for harlotry? Amen. Amen. Let me say one more. Some of these statements are crude, like what I said about her mouth full of sewage and her heart's like septic. They're crude, but it makes a point that we really need to recognize. Here's one of those statements. If it ain't for sale, stop advertising. Amen. He said the women ought to, they ought to be careful how they dress. They ought to be careful that they dress modestly. I said the other day, I don't remember what day it was, that I used to quote Brother Hall that said that my wife was your leader. And he mentioned the way she dressed. He mentioned the fact that he had never seen my wife look immodest. Amen. I tell you what she does. A lot of them, matter of fact, she did it with, I think, the outfit she's got on. She says, does this look, you know, does this look good on me? You know what I'm supposed to say? No, ma'am. No, I know better than that. No, but you know, But she says, does this look immodest? Or, and she'll say, is it too tight? And is it too tight on my backside? You know why? I know we got a full length mirror and she's got a hand mirror. She can stand and look, but you can't necessarily see in every angle. And these clothes sometimes that's just too tight. They make them that way. I understand they make them that way. But we got to be careful of what we put on our body and how we expose ourselves to others. Amen. Amen. All right. And it's the husband's job, it's the father's job, and it's the preacher's job to try to tell the women about it. And I know, ain't no man going to tell me anything. And by the way, that's the generation we've come to today with this women's lib thing. If you got it, flaunt it. That's their idea. Ain't no man going to tie me down. No man going to tell me anything. You know what they're doing? They're headed down the road of harlotry. They can be in their own business being a woman. Are you following me? Matter of fact, they talk about being dressed like a businesswoman. That's what harlots are. All right. 1 Peter, I'm almost done. You may be well done. I hope it's helping. I mean that. I hope it's helping. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You say, preacher, are you preaching to me? Hey, I'm preaching to every one of us. We got to be careful about this. 1 Peter chapter 3, again, written to a man or to men and by a man. But it's the Word of God. I'm in 2 Peter. That's why it didn't look right. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. By the way, let me just say this. If you say, well, I'm doing it for him, then how come you don't put on your makeup when he's coming home? You put it on when you're going out. You ain't doing it for him. That's right. Well, I want to look good for him. I understand that. Do it when it's just you and him. Ain't nothing wrong with what we might would call it. Immodesty depends on publicity. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Right. When it's just Adam and Eve that was naked, they weren't ashamed of it and had no need to be. There's nobody else in the world. But when you go out in public, don't be showing off everything.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let me get back to it. Likewise, your wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women, thank God for holy women, also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Amen. Now I want you to notice this. I know that chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 is dealing with a woman who's got an unsaved husband. Right? We're all on the same page. We understand that. He's talking about a woman whose husband may be one without the word. He won't listen to the word of the preacher. He may be one without the word by your chaste conversation. You say, why are you bringing that up, preacher? Because I've had some women say, well, the reason I dress like this is because my husband's lost and this is how he wants me to dress. Ain't no excuse. Not an excuse according to the Bible. According to the Bible, your husband is your authority, but there's an authority above him. Amen. If he were to tell you to go naked in public, he'd be wrong. And if he allows you to go wrapped up so tight that it's almost like you are naked in public, he's wrong. Amen. Who's adorning? Verse number 3. Who's adorning? That word adorning has the idea of what we put on, how we display ourselves. Amen. The beautification. Can I say, thank God not every woman has been duped by Hollywood. Amen. Thank God not every woman dresses like a Hollywood harlot. Amen. There are people who still believe in modesty. Amen. There are people who still seek the Lord and ask Him to help them in their modesty. Here's some things you notice about this woman that I believe makes a holy woman beautiful, by the way. Makes her beautiful. Number one, her simplicity. He calls it shamefacedness. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he calls it shamefacedness. If you look that up, has the idea of blushing. Has the idea of bashfulness. Amen. The kind of woman that's not trying to get in every man's conversation, she would rather not necessarily be noticed all the time. Amen. Is that restricting to the woman? Well, I don't know that it is. And I understand maybe the argument because of the way people have been raised. Matter of fact, we've been raised this ERA crowd, this movement, women's movement that exalt, they say it's exalting women. It is not exalting women. It is debasing women. Amen. I could go to those old stories. We talk about chivalry. They say those days of chivalry are over. Men don't act like knights anymore. You know why? Because there's no virgins in waiting anymore. Amen. They don't excuse the man. He's supposed to act like a knight. He's supposed to be chivalrous. I'm not saying that excuses him, but I'm also saying if you act like a harlot or if you dress like a harlot, don't expect him to act like you're not one. Well, he shouldn't have been looking. I know he shouldn't have been looking. And you shouldn't have been advertising. All right, you following? Everybody following me? This ain't fun, but it's right. All right. Notice her simplicity. She's not eye-catching. She's not loud. She's modest. That's what it says. Amen. She's not spent so much time to appeal to others by her looks. She spent time trying to appeal to God, who is her Lord. The same crowd that says, it ain't what's on the outside that counts, it's what's on the inside. Spend zero time worrying about what's on the inside, and they spend a lot of time in front of a mirror worrying about what's on the outside. Amen. You know why? They're hypocrites. They say what's on the inside is all that matters, and they don't even care what is on the inside. Amen. How she looks. She's not interested necessarily in how she looks. She's praying and spending time with her Lord. Amen. She doesn't need makeup and jewelry or fancy clothes. That's not to say you can't have something. Those are not necessities. Amen. Well, Jeremiah talks about a woman that couldn't even blush. You know why she couldn't? Because she wasn't shamefaced. She didn't have humility in her heart. I ain't going to deal with it. Number two, talks about her simplicity. You know her by her simplicity. You know her by her subjection. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about her subjection to her husband. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 talks about her subjection to her husband. She's not trying to steal the show. She wants her man to be the one up front. Amen. She shows her holiness by her simplicity, by her subjection. Number three, by her silence. He talks about her keeping silence. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 talks about the hidden man of the heart, the meek and quiet spirit. Are you following me? In other words, she chooses to use her words carefully. She uses them sparingly. And she means them lovingly. Amen. I could give a lot of illustration about a lot of people, but we all know people, and I can name people that you know. A woman that doesn't say a lot, but when she says something, you listen because you know it means something. Amen. That's how she is known and shows her her loveliness in that. Amen. Her silence. Amen. Let me plug this. I'm almost done. Boys, there's some girls that are quick to say, "I love you," and they don't even know what love means, and they don't even know you. Because if they knew you, they wouldn't be saying, "I love you," probably. Brother Ron Williams, you say when a boy and a girl goes on a date, two boys ain't got no business going on a date. Say amen right there. Amen. Or two girls. He said when a boy and a girl goes on a date, and I'm not promoting dating, by the way. Amen. I believe there ought to be chaperones and there ought to be careful, be very careful. Amen. But he said when a boy and a girl goes on a date, he said he puts on his best face and she puts on her best face. And they go out together and they sit down to a meal, for example, or whatever they do. And they go, and all the time he's thinking, "Well, I hope she don't get to know me because she won't like me if she really knows me." And she's thinking, "I hope he don't really get to know me because if he knows me, he won't like me when he knows me." And he said, you know, running that girl's home, he said that girls would go out on a date and they'd tell the boy, "Oh," he'd say, "you know, eat up. We got all this food ordered." And she said, "Oh, I hardly eat anything. I just eat like a bird. I don't hardly ever eat anything." And as soon as he drops her off at the house, she runs in and raids the refrigerator. But if that girl or boy, by the way, is quick to say, "I love you," be careful with that. Be careful with that. There ought to be some getting to know each other. Amen. Amen. By the way, sometimes when she says, "I love you," she's already told every other boy in class. And now it's down to you, and you're the only one left, and so she's telling you. Amen. Amen. Well, number four, she is known by her supplication. Amen. One of the greatest prayer warriors in the Bible is a woman by the name of Hannah. And I tell you, I don't know what Hannah looks like. I know what my daughter Hannah looks like. I don't know what Hannah in the Bible looks like. But she's a beautiful woman in the picture we get from the scriptures of her on her knees begging God for a son. And making a plea with God, "If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." Amen. Thank God. That is a beautiful one. And thank God for grandmas and mamas that get on their knees and pray for their children and pray for their grandchildren. Can I tell you, that's beautiful in the sight of God. You don't have to look like Hollywood. Be holy. Amen. One more and I'm done. Turn to Titus. I'm going the wrong way. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. He's warned them to speak to things that become sound doctrine. Preach it right, is what he's saying. All right, here's what that is. Number 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Then he goes to verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women. I just stopped there. That they may teach the young women. I believe God sees a woman as beautiful. He sees that in her silence. He sees that in her subjection. He sees that in her soberness. He sees that in her, in the way she is supplicating to God. And he sees that by her second generation. She's telling the other girls, "Listen, you don't want to look like Madonna. You ought to want to look like Mama." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. "Oh, Mama, I don't want to look like a mom. I don't want to look like Grandma. I don't want to be a granny. I'm only 13. I understand. But can I tell you, you got the option of looking like a harlot. And what's going to happen when you do is he's going to treat you like one. I mentioned about they started this casual Friday. By the way, in my mind, all the way I remembered, it started in the banks. That's where I first heard about it. Then it swept over a lot of businesses. Casual Friday. And now it's every day's casual, just about. You know what it does, though? It not only affects how others treat you, it affects how you respond to the treatment of others. Amen. Now, men, listen to me. You don't have to try this, but you go home and unbutton a couple of extra buttons and watch how it changes the way you act. Amen. What do you mean? It'll change. You might even let that one little hair that you glued on show. And it makes you feel like I'm the man. I ain't 60 years old no more. I'm a teenager again. No, you're still a 60-year-old man. Or women. Just a couple of buttons changes a lot of things. How about instead of unbuttoning those buttons, you button them. See how that changes things for the better. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to have them come with a song.
I appreciate you staying with me. I preached long. I know that. Oh, my goodness. I preached a lot longer than I realized I did.
Amen. Good.
I know I preached long and I preached hard, but I've done my best to tell you the truth. Matter of fact, I preached you the Bible.
Praise God.
I preached you the Bible. It don't fit in this generation, but it might rescue a generation if they'd listen.
Yes, sir.
It might help a generation if they'd listen. Father, I love you. Thank you for your word and your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the burden you put on my heart, reminding me of these thoughts and these notes, and Lord, reminding me of the need. I can't help everybody, but I can do my best to help those that are tuned in, those that are in the building, those that are under the sound of my voice, those that are under my care. I am the watchman on the wall. Lord, help me to keep my eyes open for the approach of the enemy. And Lord, help me to be faithful to warn about the dangerous letting down of the guard when the enemy is so near. Lord, help us to glorify you and please you. Help, Lord, in this invitation, whatever the need is, help people to dedicate themselves to you and to your word. And you get the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.